Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the last Monday in March 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Of course, as you know, part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, which is where we're going to archive this podcast. Please go over there, poke around, see what we do. It's all about equity, isn't it? Okay, go over, check it out. We have our wonderful online journal called Equity and Access over there. Go over, click on the link. You'll see the big cover over there. Click, look through the magazine. It's all online. You'll really enjoy it. All our podcasts are over there, plus a ton of other news all about equity, which is what we like to focus on here at ace-ed.org via the new voice of the consortium, which is right here, me, Larry Jacobs, here at Education Talk Radio. Okay, you're invited to go over there. Everything we do over there is free for all educators. All right, have a wonderful show for you this morning. We've got the Chief State School Officer of Arizona, Kathy Hoffman, here, who is an amazing person. Okay, Kathy is the first educator to lead the department, the State Department, in over two decades. Imagine that. She's been in office since January 2019. Okay, of course, has to lead the state through the pandemic, which is what we're going to be talking about. Superintendent Hoffman, can I call you Kathy? Call me Larry.
Yes, good morning, Larry.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And what time is it out there in Arizona? I'm in Maine.
Okay, it's 7:30.
You know, I got to tell you, I really appreciate you doing this so early in the day. I really do. And it's just a pleasure to have you here. Okay. And I got to tell you, I was over on the Arizona State website, the Department of Education. I am really impressed with that department and what you're doing over there. I have to ask before we get started on all this, you were an educator, a speech language pathologist. I love that. A preschool teacher. I think you're going to heaven. Okay. And, Kathy, what prompted you to run to become the leader of the state in education? I'm so impressed with this.
Thank you. It was a pretty sharp turn for me because I had never run for any office before, and I wasn't even very politically active prior to this. But what was really the tipping point for me was watching the confirmation hearing of Betsy DeVos, and I was just so appalled to have a non-educator leading our U.S. Department of Education. And we had very similar issues here in Arizona. Like you mentioned before, it had been over 20 years since we had someone who led our Department of Education who had even worked in a school. And wow. I truly believe that educators should be leading in public education.
And most people would just look at all that and say, okay, I'm turning off the news now. Give me a martini. You actually did something about it. Okay? I mean, not at 7:30 in the morning. Save your martini for later today. But I'll tell you, okay, it's so impressive what you did. It's just amazing. And congratulations. That's heartfelt and sincere. And we're on the same wavelength here, milady. I got to tell
you. Thank you so much.
We're on the same wavelength. All right? And how's the weather today? It's still early in the day. What is it, 130 degrees? What is it out there?
It's beautiful right now, but we're going to be getting up to 90 today.
90, so it's a winter's day in Arizona.
Yes, okay. It is.
And by the way, I just have to say this because an hour and a half or so north of you is my favorite place in this entire country, which is Sedona. I love it there. I always say that whenever I'm near there. It's my favorite place. Okay.
That's my favorite place, too.
There you go. Okay. Nothing like those red rocks. I got to tell you, you live in a great state down there. Okay. Let's talk about this. Okay. You're the superintendent of public education. Boom. Like everybody else, the pandemic hits. Now what? Okay. What's that road been like, okay, in Arizona from the beginning of this pandemic on to where we are right now? Wow.
Yeah. It's been incredibly challenging, and I started to compare it to a meteor hitting the earth is what it felt like here in Arizona, because we were so unprepared in our schools.
You already have meteor crater. You don't need two. You already have a meteor crater. Right. Are you there? Kathy? She left. She dropped off. Can everybody hear me? I lost her. She's got to call back in. Okay. Yeah, I'm still connected. She'll call back in just a second. We're talking to Kathy Hoffman, who's the superintendent of public instruction. Okay, I hope everybody can hear me in Arizona. And for some reason, all of a sudden, in mid-sentence, she, there she is. She's back. Let's see what happened.
Not sure.
Kathy,
sorry,
are you
I'm
there?
Not sure what happened. Is.
What
I
happened?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can. I lost
sure.
You. Just cut off. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Cut me off.
That frick. Yeah. It's okay. Not to worry. It's fine.
Sorry about that.
No, apology accepted. We're done with that one. Let's move on. The pandemic hits. Like a meteor. I was saying, you already got a meteor crater in Arizona. Okay, now what? Man, kaboom.
I know. So, yeah, in Arizona, we did have one of the most severe outbreaks in the country on multiple occasions. We had a peak in the summer and again in the winter months in December and January. And so we have had schools that have remained in distance learning for an entire year. And many of those communities are places that do not have internet infrastructure, that just simply do not have the broadband. And so the inequities were astonishing and just kept me up at night. And this has also brought on so many concerns about the mental health of our students as well as our educators. Mm-hmm. It's just been one challenge after another.
I'm sure it has been. And, you know, it's interesting. We sort of knew, and that's the colloquial way of everybody in the country in education. We knew that there were a lot of kids, a lot of families without access to the internet. Okay. And we kept kicking the can down the road. I include myself. Okay. We kept kicking the can down the road. And all of a sudden the can fell off a cliff and that was the end of the can. All right. And one of the amazing things about this horrific pandemic is that all of a sudden we were forced to see where the challenges were. Okay. When things aren't normal, where are the challenges? And boom, we found that out the hard way. Okay. And you have an additional challenge out there besides being so much area, you know, that's rural and empty in Arizona. I know I've flown over it several times. Okay, but not only do you, and I've driven it, I might add, but not only do you have that, you also have Native Americans, which in fairly good-sized numbers, okay, which is different from many other states. And what's going on with all that, with the pandemic? I know they've had a terrible time, Native Americans.
It's been absolutely devastating. We do have 22 Native American tribal nations, sovereign nations here in Arizona. And, you know, the largest being Navajo Nation, and the pandemic just absolutely devastated their communities. I know many children in those communities have lost one or both parents or many family members. It's the trauma that they have endured just cannot be overstated, because it's been absolutely traumatic and devastating to hear about their experiences. And keeping in mind, they don't have a hospital infrastructure there or access to health care in the same way that we do in urban areas.
It's unbelievable. And with Native Americans, is that the state or federal for the education? How much jurisdiction do you have over that as state superintendent?
So there's actually a few different systems. There are state-run public districts that are within the tribe, tribal lands. But then there's also BIE schools, the Bureau of Indian Education, which is federally run. There are some charter schools and private schools as well. So they really do have a lot of systems that they're working with.
Wow. And as I must ask this before we get into this, as an educator, speech language pathologist, first time office, you get into your position and you now have the cat's eye view, so to speak. Okay. You're up in that tree like the leopard looking down on everything. What was your reaction? Okay. Did you see that huge bureaucracy? Did you see great people ready to line up behind you and work? What did you see as all this was happening
Thankfully, we did have great collaboration across the state to try to address the issues we were facing. Of course, I worry about the long-term impact that this has had on our students and our especially on our students. But I am proud of the collaborations and strong relationships we were able to build to work. You know, we worked across the aisle. We worked with the public health experts. We worked with business, the business sector, the healthcare sector, really trying to come together to do what we could. And I don't feel like Arizona was just so ill prepared for this type of pandemic.
Everybody was.
I think we all feel a bit of a weight of, I wish we could have done more, or I wish we'd been more prepared. But that collaboration was really key, and having those strong partnerships across different government agencies was really critical.
Yeah, it really is. We're just going to do that much better next time. Lessons learned. And by the way, a note to the Arizona legislature, Kathy Hoffman, your superintendent of public instruction, was a preschool teacher. Okay, you don't do what she says and move education forward. No milk for you in the afternoon. Okay, so as legislators, get your act together. She knows how to make you work. Okay, and learn. Thank you. That's all I have to say on that. Okay, right, Kathy?
That's right.
You got it. Okay. So you mentioned a minute ago when I asked you what was going on, you said you're very concerned about the mental health of kids. And I have a feeling it's one of your top priorities out there. Want to talk about that?
That's right. Yeah, and this was a priority even before the pandemic, but it definitely has been exacerbated by this past year. Arizona has one of the worst counselor-to-student ratios in the nation. And when I was talking with different school leaders over the, it's really horrible. It's roughly 900 students for every one counselor in Arizona,
which
is really unmanageable.
So
we've been doing work over the past couple, since I took office over the past 2 years, we've been doing work to expand the number of school counselor and social worker positions in our schools, because we know how critical they are to the social emotional well-being of our students and their academic success. But we still have a long way to go. So one of my asks to the legislature this year was to fully fund our school safety grant program, which to fully fund this wait list of school counselor and social worker positions would cost the state $45 million, to give you an idea of the need in the state for how many positions we need. I also, what really stood out to me this past year when I was talking to different district superintendents and even principals was many of them called me to share just the devastating loss of a student who had died by suicide, whether they were a teenager or, yes, exactly. It's been absolutely devastating.
Horrible.
I never imagined, that would be a part of this role in consoling our school leaders and helping them and really listening and trying to think through, because they felt a tremendous amount of guilt that this, because oftentimes the school was still in virtual or distance learning instructional model. And so they felt like, well, could this have been prevented if the student had been in school? Everyone from the superintendent to the principal to the teacher, to everyone who was part of that community is still reeling from that grief and these traumas.
I
think it's so important that as the schools are now, almost all of our schools are now open for in-person at this time. And so I do think that going forward, this needs to be one of our top priorities.
Okay. Did you say they are almost all open or they're not?
That's correct. Almost all of our schools are open for in-person.
Well, good. Okay. And everybody feeling safe?
Yeah, so actually one of the great ways that we were able to achieve that is that teachers and all of our school staff were a priority group for the vaccines. And we've taken really positive steps in getting our community spread down, and teachers are feeling more comfortable being back in the classroom. And it feels like we're finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
I've just said that to someone here in town yesterday. I feel like we're at the, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I use the same words. It's just absolutely incredible. I just want to say, since you brought up student suicide, do you know about the Cook Center?
I think I've heard of it.
I'll get you in touch. The president of that group is a good friend of mine. Her name is Ann Brown.
Oh, great.
Okay, and they deal with student suicide. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you want, and she works with school districts, okay, so I would
great.
Love, if
Thank
you want, I will put you, I'll be happy to, she would love to meet you, and she's a wonderful lady.
Yeah.
I'll make sure that happens. Okay. Yeah. Something struck me as interesting. You have a lot of things that struck me as interesting, but the low counselor ratio. And then you said how you asked the state legislature for more budget. Okay. And which was interesting to me. Is there a budget? I'm sure there is, but is the low counselor ratio due to low budget, or is it due to the fact that there just aren't enough people becoming counselors, or both?
I'm sure it's a combination of the two, but I would say first and foremost, our schools have been severely underfunded, especially since the recession starting in from 2008 to 2018.
Wow.
Arizona cut more from public education than any other state during that time, and so we're still trying to catch up. Yeah, it's been absolutely devastating. That's while I was working in our schools. I was seeing that firsthand, seeing, the cuts to our public education system. And so it is first and foremost a funding issue. So we do have this program, the School Safety Grant Program, to target these positions and train them and help them find positions in our schools. And so it's just one avenue. It is a little bit like piecemealing our school budgets too, but we do need to be targeted. And this is at least an issue that typically has bipartisan support for the School Safety Grant Program. So that's why we're advocating through that means.
If anything ever needed a bipartisan support, there can't be much of an argument between the two sides on all this. Are you doing in particular recruitment? Okay, a targeted recruitment or anything for these folks, for this more counselors, and I assume psychologists as well, I would imagine, school psychologists.
That's true, yes. Yes, all of the above, all of these mental health positions are critical for our schools. We did actually have one thing that we were able to accomplish last year that made a really positive difference in recruiting school counselors was that we made a slight change to the requirements by which they could get certified to work in our schools. And we opened it up just a little bit to make it so that anyone with a master's degree in a mental health profession would have a pathway to certification to work in our schools. And since making that change, we have had hundreds more school counselors get certified.
Oh,
so,
wow.
But part of the problem,
wow.
Yeah, it's made a huge difference. But the part of the problem, again, is they tend to be more concentrated in our urban areas like Phoenix and Tucson, and yet our schools in rural communities are also desperate to hire for these positions, and they have a really hard time recruiting.
I imagine they do. And it's just brutal, and it's everywhere. You live in a beautiful state and a nice warm state that will actually get people there as well. It's really just amazing. Talk about equity for a second. You heard me introduce the show. We are the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We really work for that. It's so concerning. And you could actually put that into perspective of the mental health and all that sort of thing, because if you can't provide that to every kid, they are falling behind. Okay, in my opinion, but just I'll let the superintendent talk about this. Go ahead, Kath.
Yeah, in terms of equity, we work to do everything through the equity lens, and so we recently adopted a new vision statement for the department, which is equity for all students to achieve their full potential, and we're working on building that out even further to have a strategic plan and different specific objectives that, again, are all addressing various types of equity issues. Some of our areas of focus are on student achievement and how can we make sure that all students, especially knowing that Arizona does have, we have almost 50% of our students are Latino or Latina. And then, of course, we talked about having our Native American students, which is still less than 5% of our students. But anyway, so we do have, Arizona is so diverse, which I love. I think we should be celebrating this diversity. I think we should be promoting bilingual programs, different immersion programs. And we also need to be thinking about this strategically through how we're recruiting and retaining our educators and teachers across all different types of educator positions in our schools, because we know that that also will help with students of color feeling, you know, if they see diversity in their teachers and educators, then that can also help them with their success. So we really do think about this comprehensively across all the different areas that we're strategically trying to address with our planning.
That's a big plan. And I must ask, how do the universities react? I there was just an article in the New York Times yesterday how teacher education schools are down for the most part. There are a couple that are doing well, but most are down. Okay, the cohorts are down, and the pandemic hasn't helped, to be perfectly honest. Okay, what are you hearing from the schools and how they are reacting to your needs, producing more counselors, whatever the case may be, getting more kids of color, more students of color to think about becoming teachers, that sort of thing? How do you work with the colleges of education, which I think is really important? And by the way, you own them because they need you guys, you and all your superintendents, to hire their kids. So be forceful with them.
Absolutely.
You are the consumer. People forget that. You're the consumer. So what are you hearing from the education schools?
I read that article as well, and it is a little bit different here in Arizona, which I think we're actually one of the lucky ones. And also to give a little bit of context, I actually serve on the Arizona Board of Regents. So not only am I a consumer of our universities, I also am on the board that oversees our three state universities. So
cool.
I get to be the consumer and the boss in a way.
Great. I love it. I love it.
So I work very closely with our three state universities, and I'm constantly promoting our educator programs, including the school counselors or the speech-language pathology types of programs that are also critical for our schools. So we work very closely with them, and actually we have a program called the Teachers Academy, which helps for our undergraduate or master's students who are becoming teachers. They get they get their tuition covered by the, it's a scholarship program for our rising new up-and-coming teachers. And then with that, after they start in their first year of teaching, after they graduate, they're automatically enrolled in a mentorship program as well that we're also very supportive of. So actually, the Teachers Academy enrollment has been steadily climbing because it's a great way for students to pursue the teaching degree without accruing too much student debt. So it is,
I think, it's
seemingly a growing, popular program. The other way that we're trying to address this, though, is through our CTE program, which I think is an underutilized strategy that in our high schools, through the career and technical education programs, like the high school ed professions types of classes, that's another great way to get students at a younger age interested in the teaching profession. We're actively trying to grow more of these programs. They're essentially grow your own types of teacher recruitment programs. So I'm a huge fan of the CTE approach as well.
Right, that's good stuff, and I'm glad that's all working out. That's incredible. Something I've always been in favor of, that we need teachers. Okay, let's pay their tuition.
Yes.
Okay, and get them in there, and they have to teach for X amount of time, okay? And, of course, if they don't, they have to pay their own tuition, okay? But it's that simple, okay? Not that it's that simple, but you know what I mean, okay? It's a simple thought, and it's something we really, really need to do. Okay, the government is going to send you a lot of money, okay? What are you going to do with all your ESSER money, which is fun? Are you going shopping at the mall, or what are you doing with the money?
No.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
I knew
so
you
grateful.
Were doing
really
that. I just had to ask. I
know.
Yeah.
Really a once in a lifetime opportunity to have these federal recovery and relief funds. So as you know, 90% of the funds are allocated directly to the schools. We're essentially a pass-through for the majority of the funds. And so we're helping our schools with the technical assistance to apply for the grants and trying to provide them with best practices. But then as a state agency, the Department of Ed also has our discretionary funds, which is also hundreds of millions of dollars at this point, which is amazing. And so we have already used a significant portion of that to ensure a baseline because we know that every single school in Arizona has been impacted by COVID. And so we created a formula or an adjustments to make sure, especially for some of our are small rural schools that that they really don't have the community supports or, like I said, the internet infrastructure, and so they've really been struggling. But if they didn't have access through the Title I formula, we wanted to make sure that they had a their basic needs met. In addition to that, it's everything we're doing is going to align with our strategic plan, which I mentioned before. So areas like addressing the digital divide, student achievement through the equity lens, educator recruitment and retention, and mental health supports are some of our top areas of priorities.
Yeah, it's a lot of priorities, and it's a tough time to come back. I was going to ask you, I just wrote it down, and you brought it up kind of. What about broadband? How we doing on that?
Mm-hmm. We're making some gains, so I'm, again, grateful for some bipartisan support around this and so much support now coming from the federal level. And actually, one initiative that I'm proud of is we announced just last week that the department will be using $1.5 million from our discretionary ESSER funds for a state initiative called the Final Mile Project, which is basically, so, you know, some of our rural school districts that have benefited from the E-rate program. So they have high-speed internet to the school, but then the homes in the communities and the families don't have access to it.
Right.
So the Final Mile Project is to extend the internet from the school districts out to the homes. So this is a kind of a pilot project that we're supporting with part of our CARES Act funding. And so hopefully this will be a model for other school districts to get internet out to the homes.
And we learned how important that is, of course, during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. In that kind of situation, how did those kids, if I may, you know, just pick a district or whatever, how did those kids learn during the pandemic? Did mom and dad drive to school every day and pick up their stuff? Or, you know, they just didn't have access, or they didn't maybe have enough access. Okay. What happened during the pandemic with those kids?
I would say access was very poor, but what our schools did, you know, under these very difficult circumstances, was they did try to find different ways to deliver packets. So if there was no way for them to have internet at home, which is very common in rural Arizona, then either the parents could pick up packets or the school was delivering packets, usually with the meal. So like they were delivering breakfast and lunch meals on the school buses, and they would have the packets for learning to also deliver at the same time.
It is so difficult. So as we wind down here, I know equity, diversity, inclusion are key things for you. And you've heard that JEDI term. Have you heard that JEDI thing yet? You know this one?
Acronym?
This one. Actually, I like it.
I don't think so.
Okay. You know, like JEDI from Star Wars. You know?
Uh-huh.
Ready? You'll love this.
Ready.
Justice, equity, diversity, inclusion. JEDI.
Oh, nice.
Justice. Equity, diversity, inclusion. Somebody told me that last week. I thought, boy, that's cool. So I've been spreading the word about that.
That's cool.
Get yourself a just get yourself a lightsaber. Okay, it's that kind of stuff. So you're the top dog. Okay, whether you like it or not, you're the top dog. Okay, you're the chief.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, and you've had 2 years, one normal, one absolutely nuts. Okay, to look over all this. Okay. You're an educator. Mm-hmm. Now you're the chief state school officer. What have you learned, and what's the future? Great question, Larry. Thank you. Great question. I love it. What have you learned? What's your lesson plan for next year?
I am very hopeful for for the next school year, and even finishing this school year strong. I think that the kids and the teachers are just so excited to be back in the classrooms right now. So I think, as I mentioned, my top priorities are mental health supports as well as closing the digital divide, I think is going to continue to be one of our top priorities. I think all of these various initiatives of making sure we're effectively spending the federal funding in a way that actually moves the needle, because COVID has exposed all these inequities, and we need to seize this opportunity and help our schools not just survive but thrive and to be successful in a post-COVID world, and to make sure that our students have every opportunity that they need, and make sure our teachers and educators feel set up for success so that our school communities together can be strong.
Boy, I hope every one of those things happen. And you said the three magic words, seize the opportunity. Okay, seize it. Okay, you have, this is an opportunity. And I always relate this, just so you can use this analogy. After World War II, the British healthcare system had been destroyed, okay? And they had the opportunity, okay, to rebuild it. And they rebuilt it into their national health system, all right? And sometimes from really bad things, World War II was pretty bad, okay? They were able to grow something good, all right? And it works. For the most part, it works. All right? And Canada learned to do it too, et cetera, et cetera. Although they weren't destroyed, they learned from their mother country, so to speak. All right? And it's the same thing here with this stinky pandemic. Okay? It's a perfect time to seize the opportunity to make it that much better. It is wonderful to know you, Kathy. I got to tell you, I really is a pleasure to know you. Yeah, you're just amazing. You really are.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay? And I know it's early in the day, so have another cup of coffee. I assume you're drinking caffeinated, right? I go have a Dunkin'. They have Dunkin' Donuts. Do they have Dunkin' Donuts out there?
Yeah, we do. It's not as popular as Starbucks.
Yeah, well, okay. So go to Starbucks, have a nice pastry. You earned it today, all right? You earned it today.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay, continued good luck. It's a pleasure to know you. Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Kathy Hoffman, everybody. Anybody got anybody more impressive than that, let me know. Okay, Kathy is the superintendent of public instruction, chief state school officer for the great state of Arizona. Okay, which happens to have my favorite place in it, Sedona. Okay, wow, what a great show. CCSSO, my good friends over the council, chief state school officers, got this show all straightened out for me and ready to go, so I got to thank them over there. My name's Larry Jacobs. Please go over to ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, and join with us for Equity. We want your voice heard, and everything we do over there is free. Our magazine is there. We'll have a new one up this week. My name's Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.